If there ever was a day that you needed some encouragement, today you will receive that. It's going to be a good day, but let me tell you something. It's going to be God's way, and sometimes you got to wait till the end of the line till you get to finding out you're fine. Let me say it that way. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians. Once again, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I'm only going to read one verse today. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. And if you could or you would, for the reading of the Word of God, please stand. Colossians 4:17. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Father, help us to see to it. We know that you have already seen to it, and that is why we can see to it. Help us this day. Help us to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. And we'll call this message, See to It. In your King James or in other versions, it might say, instead of saying, see that you, like it does in the English Standard Version, it'll say, see to it. Tell Archippus, see to it that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. And this will have to do with everybody today, I promise you. Well, I'm not in the ministry. First of all, you are. Well, I'm not, you know, what is all this? Let's go. There's a lot in here, and I wouldn't want you to just dismiss this one little seemingly insignificant verse. By the time we get done unpacking that, you're going to see there's a lot of luggage in there for everybody. There's clothes to wear, and Christ is right here in this verse. Where? Let's find out. Amen. Your understanding of the supposed size and scope of your role doesn't determine the level of the involvement of God in your life. Your work and your ministry, it matters to Him. It's important to Him. And He can be fully engaged with you as well as everyone else on the planet in every single situation at the exact same time forever until you all die. Until new people come. He's got everything under control, every little molecule, everywhere. That's what He does. That's why He's God. He's fully involved in your personal situation. There's this Archippus. Who knows what his role was? But he gave other people a role too. He said, talk to him. Encourage him. So it looks like a general thing and also a specific thing. God has a general plan for us, and He also does have, in a sense, a specific thing. He's fully involved in your personal situation. He will see to it that He holds up His end. He exhorts all of us to see to it that we fulfill our own assignments. See, Paul shows us here that God has concern for your individual assignment. Well, excuse me, I'm just a homemaker. Wow, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We know that. Well, I'm just a kid in school. Well, how about those people at school? How about your mother that's not saved? Well, I've been sitting in the jail for the last month. There's a ministry there, that's for sure. Well, I'm going to the mission field. I'm going to the military. You have a ministry. God is concerned with your individual assignment to make Christ known through your life, through your words. Well, I don't speak very well. Well, how does your life speak? See to it. It means it never really ends. It's a present. If we go into the Greek again, you'll see that's present. It's active. It's an imperative. It means it's right now. It means you're doing something. And it means it's a command. See to it. See to it. See to it. It never really ends. It's an ongoing commitment and process. Our lives are to be a living fulfillment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To fulfill it means you keep making it full. We'll read from 2 Timothy 4 where Paul talks about that to Timothy. He says, fulfill your ministry. Keep making it full. It may not be full up to capacity right now, or when some of it comes off the top, you keep pouring in, keep pouring in, keep pouring in. Your life keeps getting poured in. Paul even said, I'm being poured out. He says, Timothy, pour back in. He's fully involved with you. That is God. He wants to make you fully involved with Him. Not just getting Him on your agenda, but getting on His agenda. That's the difference. That's the difference in your life. Whatever it is, God will see you through it, and you will see God through it. And we see here, I'm just giving a way of an introduction, then we're going to go over every little phrase in this and really unpack this. And I think some people that may be smug here today are going to be smashed, to be honest with you. But then as we do that, then we'll show them Christ, and they can be built again. And we need that sometimes. We all need to be preached the gospel. And part of the gospel is, without Jesus Christ, you can't have it. And even if you're using Christ as a tool, you won't get it. But if you're in Him and you see Him as all-sufficient, not just for Him to save you, but to live through you, then you'll understand something. And today I'm going to help you see to it. I'm not going to try to get you to try harder. I'm going to get you to see Him as sufficient, and where your unbelief, your fear, and your pride is, so that you might be able to see to it. And see to it just doesn't become a moral command. And then all the people that in this church that just obey a little better than the other people that people think are successful, you'll find out, guess what? Maybe they're not there. I need to talk this way to you. I need to make sure that you understand some things about living the Christian life. And in this one little verse, we can see some things. So let's see to it. We see here the people in the church of Colossae were to help Archippus. The church is to help each of its people fulfill their ministry in the Lord. Ministry isn't just full-time preaching or teaching or missionary work. The scriptures aren't just for, you know, the so-called clergy. They're for the lay people, the regular people, if you want to call them that. The significant people in the kingdom of God, which is everyone. We're all missionaries and ministers of the gospel full-time with our lives. What's the heading on our bulletin every week? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. What else? Just by way of introduction, seeing to it means what? Being in a local church setting. Say to Archippus, right? The church at Colossae. If Archippus would not have heard that exhortation, he wouldn't have heard it out loud if he wasn't there to hear it, right? Perhaps Archippus had a visible public ministry, okay? And he had not been fulfilling his duties. And so he needed to be reminded of his obligations. However, we must also realize that while this may seem a little heavy-handed, or pastor calls me out, oh my goodness, that may seem a little heavy-handed. Wow, or embarrassing to single out Archippus, you know, pretty much forever. Here it is in the Bible, right? It also might have been for Paul to make sure the Colossians recognized his calling in ministry. You ever think about that? Archippus was given a ministry from the Lord. In any event, the truth is clear that Paul wanted to make sure Archippus was given the encouragement and support he needed from the church body. God wants to make sure we all get that. We all have a ministry in the Lord, whether a visible and, you know, vocal public ministry, or, you know, that unseen ministry, which is just as vital in the kingdom of God. Miss little Viola that's at home right now and praying and hoping that God gets her through and praying for other people that need to get through and all that kind of stuff, that's vital. You may not see it, but God sees it. And God is the one that orchestrates that. Your ministry is significant, whether it's visible or not. It's visible to somebody. Your life is visible to somebody. None of us here are monks. We're missionaries. We're in the world, but not of the world. And yes, people will misconstrue who we are or where we are and think, well, whatever. Show them what a Christian is like in there. Show them what a Christian is like when they get mistreated, or when they get misdiagnosed, or when they get, you know, people say the wrong things. Well, you must not be a Christian. You're here. Just keep living like a Christian. Show them that Jesus is there. Whatever the case may be, we all need one another to continue to fulfill our ministry to the fullest extent. In this seemingly insignificant verse, as I've said, we see that God doesn't hold anyone or anyone's ministry as insignificant. It is significant. God wants all of us to help each other, to be fully committed, to continually fulfilling our ministry. We're exhorting one another. And He expects all of us to be equipping one another with the ammunition of encouragement. The supposed Lone Granger Christians out there will find out they're out of ammunition soon enough. You can't be out there by yourselves. You got to be there in the church and then out there in the world, and you get back to the filling station and you get armed with the ammunition of encouragement so that when you're out there, you're not all by your own lonesome and you got a, what they call that, a munitions or a weapons dump or whatever. You can go back and get some more. But if you're out there all on your own, you're going to run out of bullets. We need to arm each other with the ammunition of encouragement. See, Christ is worth knowing to the fullest extent possible. And I'm asking that we would always be praying, that we'd always be striving to learn and love Him more, even as we come to understand His love for us more. That's the key. We love Him and learn about Him more as we understand how much He loves us more. Now I'm going to again unpack this verse, and we're going to begin to see Jesus Christ through this verse. If you think you're doing all you can and should for God, do not be smug about this one little verse. As we unpack it, you will see that there is more luggage than you expected. So let's look at that first phrase. It says, and say. And say. Say something, all right? Paul knew something had to be said to Archippus. Paul knew the trials, the ups and downs of being in ministry. And he consistently kept an eye out to exhort and encourage his ministry disciples, his partners. We saw this, remember, when we studied 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7? Paul was telling Timothy, says, stay in Ephesus. You've got to complete this thing. Remember our sermon, Staying or Straying? Or how about the pastor's pulse, the people's prayer, from 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. He believed in them. He believed in God. They believed in God. He believed. He was encouraging him, equipping them. Remember Ephesians 6, 18, and plenty of other places, all over the New Testament. It's filled with the idea of encouraging one another in their ministries and in their walks with Christ. And say. So who? Who's to say? Who's to say the words? Well, think about who the letter was written to. The letter was written aloud, to be read aloud to Archippus. So think about this. Here's Paul saying, and say to Archippus, someone's already saying it. They're reading it. And yet other people were also supposed to do it. It was written to the church. So who was supposed to tell Archippus? The church, all the members. And all the members were to speak to him. Not necessarily every single one, like in a filing line. Maybe not each one individually, but the sense is that anyone has the right. The church speaks to the leaders for encouragement, as well as the leaders speak to the church. Now, this is not about being presumptuous and telling others what they, quote unquote, should be doing, but to encourage each other as to those things we all need to be doing, and also to encourage those already doing something specific to be able to keep fulfilling it, and for those looking to do something particular to make sure that they are looking to the Lord and encouraging them with your pledged support to Archippus. So, the church, to say to Archippus. So they say things to individuals. We're encouraged not just in general, but specifically to individuals. We all have a ministry of an encouragement. Somebody, please stay awake today. Everybody be all wild-eyed about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by then, and you'll miss it. Stick with it. See to it. Let's keep your eyes open today. I'll try to get excited. We'll get excited here. We all have a ministry of encouragement. It's important. It's commanded. The writer of this letter was the one and only Apostle Paul, right? And yet he needed encouragement himself. At the beginning of his ministry, who did he hook up with? A man named Barnabas. And what was Barnabas? What does his name mean? You can look at it in Acts 4:36. It means son of encouragement. He helped Paul when no one else would. Remember, this was the guy who was getting people killed. And they were like, whoa! He's like, no, guys, he's good. You ever had to stand by someone when everybody else was saying no? And you knew he was doing the right thing? Sometimes we need a little encouragement in that. Sometimes someone will say something and they'll give you that encouragement. And, you know, right when everybody else is, and then it works out right. And praise God. Woo, we're living it, baby. So he's the son of encouragement. He helped Paul when no one else would. And the Bible says he was a good man. Doesn't mean the other people aren't good men if they're not the ones to help out. It may be your turn to help somebody out. He was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and faith, it says in Acts 11:24. But you never hear about him much, do you? I'm sure he's not worried about that in heaven right now, you know. He's not missing anything, you know. Now many scholars, as a matter of fact, say that Barnabas is the one that wrote the book of Hebrews. Did you know that? Think of that. One of the greatest books in the Bible. Perhaps the greatest one that sets forth the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He may have written that, and he wasn't even recognized for it. Now, whoever did write Hebrews is not recognized. Paul never mentions that he wrote that. And whoever, you know, there's a lot of debate about that. Whoever it is didn't get recognized for it. Doesn't get recognized for Hebrews, the book. I mean, the one that sets forth Christ like no other book. But what they did was and is still effective for God, and God did reward it and still rewards it. You may not be like Paul. You may not be like Barnabas. You may not be the one that's recognized, but you still have a ministry. You have an obligation to say to others to see to it, to be an encouragement to them. Everyone has times when they need encouragement. Sometimes we don't even know where it's going to come from, as I talked to you about this morning. God has a way of sending someone around to say something that lifts you up, even when they don't know how or why it means so much to you, or even that it meant anything at all. Glory to God, that's a beautiful thing when that happens, is it not? Man, that's a good one. And you can be that person to someone, just be in the attitude of encouragement. Now, we can go too far with that. We can develop an attitude of encouragement, and we should. However, having said that, let's not be too hasty to try and be everyone's encourager if that's not what you're called to be. Yes, you will be called to be an encourager to someone and sometimes. But not everyone is always to speak to everyone about their issues. Do you think it would have been just and right if everybody afterwards said, now let's all form a line and tell Archippus to see to it, see to it, see to it, see to it, see to it. Right? Right? You get my point? How many times you're like, uh-oh, here comes that one. Oh, man, come on. Come on. I'll be fine, brother. It's not your job to speak to everyone about their issues every time. You see someone crying, that doesn't mean you have to come over.
That's right.
Woo!
That's right.
You don't understand why I'm excited about that, but some of you might. Hearing empty, worn-out words from someone we know doesn't really understand or isn't actually concerned. That's like putting salt on a wound. People like that just want to show off their supposed compassion and spirituality. See to it that that isn't you. Yeah, Daddy's got to give you a rod today a little bit. It's just the way it is. I want us to be encouragers, but real ones. By the way, a lot of times we think, this is not me, it's you. I didn't point at anybody specific. Maybe Paul. No, just kidding. But you guys get it. Say to Archippus, see that you. And again, we said that is present, active, imperative. It's now, it's now, it's now, it's now. It's doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. Commanded, commanded, commanded. Keep seeing to it. Keep seeing that you fulfill it. You are to be one who says, but you're also to be one who sees. In other words, you must say to Archippus, see to it. And like Archippus, you must see to it yourself. You have an obligation to say to others, to see to it, and to see to it yourself. You encourage others, you got to be doing your own thing. Hope people encourage you. That's like being knit together like we talked last week, right? So fulfill. See to it that you fulfill. Again, it's continuous action. Keep making it full. It's not about potential, it's about process. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. And if you can't get there by the time I read it, don't worry about it. 2 Timothy 4 verses 5 through 7. And this is Paul in his last letter talking to Timothy, the guy he's leaving behind, going on to heaven. And you're leaving me here to deal with all these people. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do the work. Fulfill your ministry. Keep filling it up. You may be getting poured out, but you can say like Paul, that he fought the good fight and finished the race. It may not all seem like it ever gets all the way filled up. That's not the point. It's not, do you ever get it all the way filled up? It's, are you filling it now?
Amen.
Are you seeing to it? Where's the encouragement in that? I can't do that. I know. We're getting there. The ministry. See to it that you fulfill the ministry. Hope I got your attention today. Because I'm going to show you why you can't do this. None of us are doing this. Liar, you're not doing it. But I'm not going to beat you down except to build you up. The ministry. We're all called to minister. We're all saved to serve. Everyone's saved to serve. Well, I just got saved. You're supposed to serve. Not everyone's ministry is leading or teaching, of course, but everyone's ministry is to live their own life to others in their own world, wherever that is, to their family, to the church. Everyone is an evangelist at some time. Also, those called to lead and teach must be ministered to themselves. And there may be, so they like to call seasons of city.
You see that we're
to continue to fulfill ministry, to keep doing it, to keep filling it up. What does that remind us of? It reminds us that ministry is more about process than instant process. See to it. Keep seeing to it that you keep fulfilling your ministry. It's a process more than just this instant microwave spirituality. Now that means the ministry that you have, obviously you keep doing the ministry, and also the ministry that you do. Both are a process. Now certainly we have teachable moments. We look for that, but listen to me. Transformation is much more process-oriented than crisis-oriented. It's more eventuality than event. Stop waiting for the evangelist to come around until you think you're going to give your life to God. It's going to be a one-time deal and it's all over. I won't have them here anymore if we keep doing that. I don't care if they're my friends or not. I want to see you come up here crying and then 2 weeks later hitting the bottle again. The blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. Over time. And you have problems and you're struggling and we're with you. Don't say, I'm totally healed. Just, you know, I'm doing the best I can. God, keep helping me. I fell back down. Come on, we're right. Open arms, baby. But when you say, oh, you keep it real. Who said that? That's what it is. Keep it real, man. You know what a crisis is? You know a crisis event? Like, I'm fully sanctified now. As soon as I hear someone say that, I'm coming at him with a lance. Boom. Are you sanctified now? You ready to die? You might as well go to heaven now. Boom. You get my point? I'm not trying to say that God doesn't do things in an instant. He does, but we look for that too often. And too many people think they're the son of encouragement, and they want to do that. They just want to dispatch their duty, and they don't really care about the person. Woo, I said it. You're just going to lay your hands on someone, and the demon's going to come out, and it's going to be all over. Those ministries, most of all, are bunk. I mean, it's just the truth. You don't need some book that tells you the demon of this, the demon of this, the demon of that. What you need is Jesus Christ, and to see him as sufficient. And you can't just go through a checklist and think it's all over. It's done. You can't do that to God. He knows better. I don't know what spirit you're getting into, but let me tell you something. Transformation is much more process-oriented. Keep seeing it that you fulfill the ministry. In other words, you're ministering to this person. Don't let them off. Well, they had this one event. Well, now, you know, they just don't want to obey. They just don't know Jesus Christ still. You just don't want to take another day off. I understand. Help somebody else help you help them. Keep fulfilling the ministry. You helped her out 2 years ago, and then you think, oh, boy, is she doing good? And then she, well, you know, you got to keep doing it. I got to keep doing it. We don't let you go. We don't let you go. I got to keep seeing to it. What am I just going, oh, well, you know, he's over there now. He's out of sight, out of mind. No way, baby. No way. No way. Well, he was gone for a few months, but like I forgot your name. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at some specific people. That's all right. It's all of us. Or you've been here 20 years, and then you're down a few weeks. Man, I'm praying like crazy. Whew, Lord, man, I'm going to have to go see him, I guess. But I don't want to think I'm some kind of meanie. I just want to fulfill my ministry. But I love him. Keep filling it. And sometimes we have these prayer meetings, and woo, and it is good, and it is good, and it is right. But you got to not just have a determination, you know, a decision to start, but a determination to stay. That's what counts. The blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. Didn't God say it like that? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ said the things will grow and the people will, some of them will receive it with joy and they don't have any root? You don't get rooted down, you get burnt out. Isn't that, boy, that's a sermon right there. Woo! So many sermons in Mark 4. If any of you guys want to be preachers, start there. That's where Jesus started. Start there. Yes, there are incidental encounters. Yes! Power encounter, sure. But growth in grace in any area is an ongoing thing. If you're looking to minister, listen up. Remember this. Instead of looking for a magic bullet or a miracle cure or that one big breakthrough, which is usually just an emotional release, and then you get them to think, oh, they're feeling the power of God, and all you're doing is binding them to a pattern of emotional release, and they think that's the power of God. And I'm not stepping on my own toes. I don't believe that. I don't think it's right. Because, oh, he's being touched. Well, what's he going to be like tomorrow? I can be touched. You could go to, you could see me at a rock concert. If Led Zeppelin came back together and they had John Bonham came up from the grave and all that, and me and John and Chuck and a bunch of people, woo, we'd be touched. I wouldn't go there, but you get my point. You understand that? My father-in-law was watching a movie, and it was called something with George Strait. I forget, what, Gone Country or something. What was it? Pure Country. And at the end, you know, they're all getting into George Strait, and they're all waving and all that. And he goes, "Do you feel the Spirit?" And he was, you know, mocking, of course. Again, I'm not trying to get you to discount your emotions. I'm trying to say, you see someone else having emotions, that doesn't mean you're supposed to go over there and help them. If you're looking to minister, remember that. It's not a magic bullet, a magic cure, one big breakthrough. That's usually just emotional release. You got to look for the long haul. You got to keep fulfilling your ministry. It's more about truth encounters than power encounters. What are you doing? What are you supposed to be doing? Planting the Word of God, right? And what does he call it? A seed. He doesn't call it Miracle-Gro. So, keep seeing to it that you fulfill the ministry that you have received. That you have received. Oh, we're just getting started. We're not even to the good stuff. We haven't even seen Jesus yet. That you have received. Received, not achieved. It's been given to you, and it's your job to see that it gets fulfilled. Jesus in Luke chapter 14, 7 through 11 says it this way. He says that there's this guy, and he comes into the theater, and he gets all the way down in front. He thinks, you know, I've got this ministry that I received. You know, I'm big shot. And again, you know, the usher, I'm paraphrasing. The usher goes, excuse me, sir, you know, Daryl's supposed to sit here. You're probably, why don't you go way, yeah, up there, the nosebleed section up there. Rather, sit in the back and let them call you up front. Amen. You've received something in the Lord, but don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. The Jews received the laws. The Jews received the temple and the sacrifices and all those things, and yet they thought that meant you had to be Jew to be saved, right? Instead of you had to be with Jesus to be saved. And they missed the Messiah because they thought they were special. See, you're significant in the kingdom of God, but you're not special. You're not above anybody else. We shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Anything you have gotten, you have received. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says it this way. 1 Corinthians 4:7 basically says, and remember, these are the Corinthians that had all the spiritual gifts and were doing all this stuff. And he goes, what are you doing? Why are you acting like you're special, like you got something that you didn't actually receive, like it was you and your power and your grace? Anything you got, you received. So you better act like you received it, just like anybody else. Now, even though we shouldn't think more highly than we ought, we shouldn't think less. We do have a ministry. Everybody has something. And you must fulfill the ministry you have received. If you don't know what that is, well, I don't know what that is. Think about last week, the ministry of making friends. Why don't you start by encouraging someone else in theirs? Well, I'm waiting for this ministry. Look at Luke 16, 10 through 12. And it'll tell you, basically, you're not going to get your ministry until you help someone else with theirs. What does our friend Zig Ziglar say, Ed? He says, you can't get what you want until you help enough other people get what they want. It's not what you can get out of God, it's what God can get out of you. And if he doesn't know, if you can't serve, you do the math. If you don't know what to do, start by encouraging others. So, see to it that you fulfill the ministry that you have received. Here it is, in the Lord. Not in yourself. Not what you can do alone. Oh, I know. I get that. But we wave a hand like that. We say, yeah. No. Again, in Christ you are significant, but you're not special. Some only want ministry because it makes them feel special. Or they want a particular kind because it makes them feel special. Or they go about looking to show that they are special. Now, yes, like it says here, other people will affirm you in your call. Say to Archippus, affirm him in his call. Affirm other people. But don't go looking to do that yourself. For yourself. Some just want to show you how their ministry is, you know, mystical. They get someone new in church and they go, I've got a word. Some don't want ministry unless it means they're higher than others. Well, I don't want to do that. There's a ministry of scrubbing toilets. Did you know that? It's the first on this ministry of being a preacher. Did you know that? Probably didn't. Time to scrub some toilets, gentlemen. Some don't want ministry unless it means certain things for them. Now, these all have a self-esteem problem. They're using God to try to up their self-esteem. But the answer is not to boost their self-esteem, but to boost their esteem for God and to boost their esteem for others. Philippians 2:3 says we ought to esteem others more highly than ourselves. I was at this conference recently, and there's this man that's so far more educated than me that I couldn't catch up if I tried. And just it really kind of renowned in the circles I run in big time, it's Dr. Christmas. And he insisted that I call him Scott. He said, no, call me Scott. And he talked to me, and he was real, and he was accessible, and he wasn't high and mighty. And he thought that me talking to him about these things, and I'm this pastor in this little church, and plugging away and trying to teach God's sovereignty and all that, he thought that was bigger than what he was doing. He said, oh, no, that's where it's at. That's true humility. He wasn't playing my cards. He knew what was going on in the Lord. We receive these things. It's not about fulfilling ministry for the sake of fulfilling it. Now, it's about doing it for Him. Now, this can be a lot more subtle than you think. So in a minute here, I'm going to dig a little deeper into that. All right, so I want you to realize something. All of this is in the Lord. Having said all we've said, having seen all we have seen in this sermon, I'm not so much calling on you to have duty in ministry as I am calling on you to have devotion in Christ. Now, yes, the ministry may be to other people, but it is in the Lord. And it is Him we are looking to, not other people's approval of our ministry or certain results. You're not saved either in the ultimate sense or even in the temporal sense by pursuing the fulfilling of your ministry. If you are a Christian, you've already been saved. That is why you can fulfill it. It is unbelief, fear, and pride that stop you. But you obviously can't just wave your hands and say, unbelief, fear, and pride, go away. I don't accept you today. Yeah. You'll be waving your hand all day like this bat in the air. Just because they're spirits don't mean they're like ghosts. You can't turn on a fan and blow them away. So you can't just simply wave your hand and say, fear and pride and unbelief, be gone, right? So again, listen to me. I'm not trying to get you to try harder to get this to happen. What I'm going to help you to do is solve the problem by applying the gospel to it. Remember I applied the gospel to lunch for you? Now I'm going to apply the gospel to see to it that you fulfill your ministry in the Lord. All right? Let's look at it and let's do that. You ready? Point number one. So what is he saying you must do? What must you do? All right, what's the passage say? Very simple. One verse says, we must tell others to continually fulfill their ministry and also be continually fulfilling our own ministry. Simple enough? So why can't you do it? You can't do it. You know that, don't you? You can't do it. Why? Because it's impossible to always be fulfilling it all. Practically and morally. We all reach impossible climbs, deep valleys, and dead ends in what we do, do we not? As well. How can we even see what others must do when we don't even know what to do ourselves? How can we even muster up the courage to tell them to keep fulfilling their ministry when we are doing so poorly ourselves? How can we tell someone, you know, go to it, brother, when we can't even keep our own head above water? How can we meet our obligations to others if we cannot even meet our own? Even if we're able to reach, listen to me, please, somebody. Even if we're able to reach a level of obedience and breadth and success in our ministry, we still too often think that that makes us good. In that case, we are fulfilling ourselves by fulfilling our ministry. And we're not really obeying at all, not truly, not to God, not from the heart. In that case, our lives aren't praising Him, they're praising our own accomplishments. The more we think about this in depth, the more we're going to realize that this, see to it, is an impossible task. We cannot fulfill our ministry. Okay, let's go home. So what are we going to do? What should we do? What we should always do, look to Christ. How did He do it? What did He do? Well, Christ is the ultimate embodiment of this principle and this command. He encouraged and supported others perfectly. He fulfilled His ministry at all times. He did anything and everything His Father commanded and wanted Him to do. John 17:4 says it this way. I have given you glory on the earth, Father. I've completed the work that you've given me to do. I filled it up. I finished it. Of course, He was on His way to the cross, and in John 19:30 says, it is finished. He did do the work. He did fill up the ministry overflowing. He did do it. The most important ministry is already done. You can't fulfill your ministry. It's not you that does it. He did it. And then in Acts 2, verses 32 and 33, Peter was preaching and he said, this Jesus who's fulfilled this ministry, rose again from the dead. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Now, through Him, you can do it. See, on our own, we can't do it. But we can't just say, well, I know it's Christ. No, no, no. You've got to come to really realize this. To realize this when you're down and you're out, that He's already done it. That's why you can do it. He's already beaten the giants. He's already conquered sin, law, death. Any ministry that you have, He's got it. So what about our inability then? We still don't do it sometimes. We just say, well, Christ did it. Does that mean He's not wanting us to do it? No. Say to Archippus, see to it. So our inability to do what must be done stems from our lack of belief as Christ. A lack of belief in Christ is sufficient. I'm going to explain this to you. Stay with me. See, we feel as if we have to fulfill our ministry or we fall from grace. But that is not the case. We feel like God is displeased with us if we don't do it right. That's not the case. That's a self-righteous attitude. It's motivated by fear and pride. However, it's not from fear and pride that we can move with Christ, but from humility and joy. Repent and rejoice in Christ. See Him as enough, and then we can live as we ought. Instead of seeing Him, now listen to me, this is the problem. Instead of seeing Him as some moral example, see, I just said Jesus did it. And so we look to Him because He did it, we can do it. No, I mean, He did it. It is done. He's sufficient. Even if we fall down, He already did it. That's not the point. He is who saves us, not we. And we turn our ministry into some self-salvation, some self-justification. See, I knew I was doing it right. All these people are coming to church right now. The amount of people, the amount of money, the amount of people getting woo is not the yardstick. Faithfulness to the Word of God. And faithfulness to the Word of God says, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Let me keep going. Instead of seeing Him as some moral example, we must see Him as our substitute, as the fulfillment of this very command. And Paul and Timothy and others are the example. He's the substitute, they're the example. And they saw Christ as a substitute, not just at the cross, but also as their daily clothing. He has become for us wisdom and righteousness, salvation and redemption, sanctification. Keep fulfilling your ministry. Keep being sanctified. Count on Him. It's an active thing, but we receive it. They saw Christ as the substitute, not just the cross, but also their daily clothing. We must wear the garment. Listen to me, somebody. We must wear the garments of grace or others won't see Christ as all-sufficient and beautiful. They will only see us as great and their own lives as miserable. And that's why they don't want Christ. I just can't clean myself up. I can't be like that. If our lives don't point to Christ, they point to perdition. Just because you feel as if you are doing all that you've been called to do is no reason to feel smug. If your life says to others, look what I'm doing for Christ. Or even if it says, look at all Christ has done for me. And yet it does not say, look at how beautiful Christ is. Then I tell you, you are not fulfilling your ministry. The ministry is simply fulfilling you. Again, if your life says to others, look what I am doing for Christ, or look at all Christ has done for me. And yet, if it does not say, look at how beautiful Christ is, then I tell you, you are not fulfilling your ministry. The ministry is simply fulfilling you. So why and how do we fail to fulfill our ministry in the Lord? Often we see our own fulfillment or our enjoyment as a prerequisite to fulfilling it. In other words, we won't do it unless we're sure we'll get something out of it. Sometimes, if we're trying to be pious or make ourselves feel like we're rightly motivated, that'll mean results. We see our fulfillment only if we feel we are fulfilling it. Now that, again, may seem subtle, but those things are replacements for being fulfilled in Christ. And they are means of self-salvation in a sense. our failure to do it right in the Lord, as unto God, for His glory, is due to our functional rejection of Him. Not our overall rejection, we're saved, but our functional rejection of Him. Our failure to relate what we do to what He did. Remembering Him frees our hearts so we can change like we're commanded to. We don't look down on ourselves, but we look up to Him. Now is not the time to get your eyes off God. We must be on guard against mere moralism. Well, I'm doing pretty good. I don't have to go to church. I'm not sinning too much. I'm telling some people about Jesus. They're just seeing you as some cleaned up guy who just, you get my point. I'll quote my friend Alistair Begg. The gospel is not an invitation to imitate Jesus Christ, but it is an invitation to be transformed by Jesus Christ. It all comes down to God. This passage is really about Jesus Christ. Now, it seems like basically you look at it and you go, well, it's about what we must do and tell others to do. But it really is about what Christ has done. It's in the Lord. If we see this verse only as instructions on what we're to do without seeing Christ as having already fulfilled something, then Jesus only serves as an example to follow. But it says in the Lord. Without relating this to Christ, it only becomes moral commands to try hard to do or achieve. Only when we see that Jesus has already fulfilled His ministry, the main ministry, then we can see to it that we fulfill ours. If He had not, we could not. But because He has, we can. His victory has been accounted to us. He has won the war, and that is why we can proclaim ultimate victory despite the heat of battles. Unless we can see Him fight and win over the forces of ministry stress and ministry burnout and ministry rebellion and ministry rejection and all of that, then how can we fight the battle ourselves? But He has done it. He has fought and won the most important battles. And He has been our substitute. He has fulfilled that ministry perfectly. And now He empowers us to do ours. We can have a deep-seated security, knowing that we can continue to fulfill our ministry because He has fulfilled His and is helping us to fulfill ours. And He will never leave us nor forsake us in that call. That call always has something to do with the gospel, proclaiming it and living it out in whatever situations we find ourselves in, within our church community, our own individual worlds, wherever, with words and actions. If we were to fulfill our wildest dreams, but do them without Christ, it would do us no good. But Christ has given us the provision of His presence. And we can fulfill our ministry to the glory of God because it's not about us, but Christ in us. Look to Him and believe in Him, and you will see to it that you fulfill your ministry in the Lord. Then you'll be able to say, like the Apostle Paul said in this same book, in Colossians 1:29, "For this I toil, struggling with all His energy, that He powerfully works within me." And 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." And Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And Ephesians 3:20 and 21. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." If you are a Christian, God has already given you a ministry, and He has accepted you in His beloved company and approved you for this position in ministry. Only when you realize that will you be able to fulfill your ministry. God has already set His love on you prior to your obedience because of Christ's obedience. Knowing that, you can have the heart to start and the will to keep going. Only by taking joy, our joy, from His fulfilled ministry can we truly fulfill ours. If you're only trying to fulfill your call so that you will have a fulfilled life, you're not doing it for His sake. but your own. Without taking our joy from, seeing, and resting in Christ's obedience for us, we will never be obeying for the right reason and not even truly obeying at all. Look to Christ. Jesus has already seen to it. And even if we lose our ministry, even if we lose our family, even if we lose our health, we lose our wealth, we lose our wives, we lose our lives, we can never lose our salvation. Wherever you are, and whatever God has called you to, see to it. Heavenly Father, you have fulfilled the ministry, and you keep fulfilling it through your people. Paul said in Colossians 1, I believe it's 24, I'm filling up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions. Not that he was missing anything, but that Christ keeps fulfilling the ministry through people. That's what he meant. And may we fill up the cup. If that be suffering, so be it. We follow our suffering servant, who was our substitute for us and suffered more than any man in history ever will. If it means we have riches, Jesus Christ had riches and knew how to come down and empty himself and give people the true riches of heaven. Father, whatever the case may be, you have done it. You have sent your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not just on the cross, died, rose again, sitting at your right hand, ever making intercession for us, sanctifying us once and for all, and continually, as he is fulfilling the ministry through the Holy Spirit on the earth. And we are instruments in that. Grease up the trumpet and blow, Lord, like a mighty wind through this church and through these individuals, and make it a certain sound in this season that says Jesus Christ has come and he's coming again and he is Lord. Do this all to your glory and your grace. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. And now we are going to take communion, and our text is the same text. See to it. Let's go ahead and grab our young ones and bring them back. And we're going to take communion. And we'll see to it. See, Christ has already seen to it. So when we look at the elements, we know that it's reminding us that Jesus Christ has fulfilled his ministry. He had to shed blood. He had to have a broken body. It may have been some other way, he thought. He said, Lord, if there's another way, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm going to turn this off now. God bless you. We'll see you.